All right, well, good evening. Thank you for allowing me to be here. For some of you who are in the back, this is going to be an interactive time that we'll have a section, and so you're going to have to be able to see the board and interact with me, but we'll make that work. I want to start out, though, with something that I learned this afternoon. Not that I learned it, but I was reminded this afternoon, and I'll tell you a little bit about who I am and that sort of thing. But I really was intrigued by this. We are the plan. Amen? That's really what the Christian life is all about. We are the plan. You know, I spent most of my adult life making plans of how I was going to serve God. And amazing plans that I had. I said different times, God is so lucky to have me on his team because I had all these good plans. The reality of it is, you know what? I don't know if Jesus was amused by my plans or if it was just, I don't understand what his response to that was. But the reality is Jesus has a plan. And that plan was already established before the first word of creation was spoken. And this evening is part of that plan that Jesus had in place. And thank you, Doug, is it? Is that your name? Yeah, Doug. Thank you for emphasizing that each one of us has a place in God's plan. How he has created you, your personality, your history, your baggage, everything. God has a plan for you. It took me a long time, most of my adult life, to realize and come face to face with that understanding that Jesus has a plan for me. He doesn't need my plans. He's got it already in place. And when we realize and we find ourselves submitting to him and say, Jesus, what is your plan for me? And then being obedient to that, there isn't any better way to describe the glory of life and the preciousness of what life is all about. I never had any idea in my life, growing up as a youngster, my sister, Barbie, where's Barbie? She's in the kitchen? She's not here? Well, somebody go get her. Good. I told her. Barbie is my sister. She's my second oldest sister. There's another one older than her. I have three older sisters, one younger sister, two younger brothers. I'm right in the middle of seven. So that, you know, it gives me an excuse for a lot of reasons to be the middle child. But we grew up in a Christian home, and Jesus was part of our heritage. I'm very thankful for that. My great-grandfather on my grandmother's side was a circuit-riding preacher, and he established different churches in western South Dakota. My other grandfather on my father's side, he was a devout a Christian man. I have a Christian heritage that goes way back. But you know what? If you're here tonight and you're living off of your Christian heritage, I want to tell you something. The Bible says it doesn't say it in these exact words, but the Bible tells us that there will be no grandchildren in heaven. Only children of the King. Amen? Only those who have become sons and daughters of Jesus Christ will be in heaven. So I accepted the Lord at a young age, about 8 years old. I have a little note page that my mother tore out of her diary and gave it to me of when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And that's a precious page. To know that that time is when I gave my heart to Jesus. I didn't always live for Jesus. And so it's a life challenge to learn obedience and learn what he wants for us. But growing up, Doreen was a friend of mine in high school. We went to Bible camp together. And as I said, the summer when we were here, you know, I always had my eye on her, but she never noticed me. I don't know what she said. You did good. You did good. So, yeah, the Lord had a plan. It wasn't for me. I just want to tell you, it took the Lord really putting his hand on my life when I was 10 years ago, just short of turning 50, the Lord had to really bring me to my knees. I was a businessman. I still am a businessman. I have a business and thankful for that. But the Lord had to deal with something in my life, and it's called pride. And he had to put his hand on me and said, Brian, I don't need your plans, but it's not that he needed me, but he had a place for me in his work, and he needed me to submit to that. And once I did that, the Lord has opened up my life in a tremendous way. I have been on 19 different trips to Africa. I never dreamed I'd ever go once. And I've been to Haiti one time, Nepal, India, different places in Jamaica, Caribbean area. And it's all for a purpose. That God had a purpose for me. I am not, I'm with you, Doug. I'm not a smart man. How in the world can God use a farm boy from Brule County to do his work? But we are the plan. It's for his glory that things are done for his kingdom that will last. And I praise God for that. So it doesn't matter who you are, what age you are. If you're young, you're just looking ahead at life, or maybe you've seen a lot of life already, and you can look back and you can see things that have happened. Your life isn't done yet. Every day we stand up, we get vertical, we take a deep breath and say, Jesus, what is on your schedule for me today? Now, it takes planning. 10 years ago, I told the Lord, if there's an open door in front of me, you better close it. Because I'm going to go through it. When I finally came on my face before the cross and I said, I am yours. Use me. And if there's an open door out there, I'm going through it. Well, suddenly doors were open. And I started going through doors. Had an opportunity to go to Haiti. And 4 days after I got home, I was on an airplane and I went to Kenya. Just the way the schedule worked out. Crazy. And from that trip to Kenya, just as a travel companion with a friend of mine who I knew from Wisconsin, he said he wanted to go back to visit some friends in Kenya, but he was too old to travel alone. And I said, I'll go with you. And he was kind of perturbed because he thought he had the perfect excuse, that he was just too old. And here I come along and I say, I'll go with you. So I went as a travel companion. And when I was in Kenya, we visited several churches. We'd go out into the village and visit these churches. And totally new experience for me. This is not Central South Dakota, you know. It's just... everything is different. The food is different. The people are different. The way they do stuff. And I'm just, my mind is just trying to absorb all this stuff. And I see all the things that I see kids dipping water out of the creek that, you know, I wouldn't let my cows drink that water. And just, I see all these things I want to fix. But there was something that happened on that first trip. There was two things I want to tell you about. The first trip that I went, we visited all these different churches. And every time we would go to a church, people would be busy, but the pastor would get a hold of me, and he'd pull me aside, and he'd say, Brian, can you help me go to Bible college? I have this church. God's called me. I've been a Christian for 3 or 5 or 10 years, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to read. I don't know how to study the Bible properly. I don't know how to preach properly. I need training. And that happened at least 4 times, maybe 5 times. I've been trying to remember back how many times that happened. It happened enough that God started speaking to me. And because in my heart, I want to help. I see a problem, I want to help. And so I started thinking, well, I could help one person go to Bible college or go to seminary. But what happens, his whole family has to go with him. Will he ever return to that village? What happens to the people in that church that he's already shepherding? But one thing led to another. The Lord laid on my heart, Brian, you can't send anybody to Bible college. You don't have the resources for that. But you can go back and have a pastor's conference of encouragement to these guys. And so I called a friend of mine who was a longtime friend from Bible college. We'd gone to Bible college together. And I said, Scott, we're going to Africa. Okay. I said, I'm going to organize everything because I think that's what my skills are and my gifts are. I'm going to organize everything. You're going to be the Bible teacher. We're going to do a pastor's conference. Okay. He said, but under one condition. You have to teach one class. Oh, Scott, I'm not a teacher. I'm an organizer. I'll organize this thing. You teach. No, you have to teach one class. So we went back. But before that, I want to tell you something else. No, I'll bring that story up later. Okay, so we went back, and we had 25 pastors in this first pastor's conference. And something happened in my heart. I taught that one class, and God showed to me that he could use me in that position. And we started going back over and over. And pretty soon, there was one conference. We had 280 pastors coming to this conference. And by this time, I was inviting other pastors to come do the teaching, and I was doing more teaching. But I realized, you know what? I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I'm not a Bible student like a theologian where I can just sit in my study in my office and study and lay out a curriculum and put all that together. That's not who I am. But I learn and I can see what great work has been done by other pastors, and I can read those and I can transfer them. I believe them in my heart and I can teach that to others. And so that's what I was doing. But I realized, too, there must be someone somewhere that's doing something in this circle of reaching out to African pastors in helping train them. In Africa, we've made the comment different times. I have some really close friends who are missionaries in British Columbia in the First Nations ministries there. And they have been there for, they've been there over 40 years. And they maybe have 5 or 6 converts. And they don't understand it. When I say, when somebody goes into Africa, it's almost like you throw a Bible in the middle of the street and you start preaching, you'll have a crowd. And you'll have people give their heart to Jesus. And it's genuine. It's real. And pretty soon you've got a church started with some very, you know, concerted efforts to evangelize and see people come to know the Lord. And in that church, there will be people who are gifted as pastors and leaders, and it's a church. God's building his church. But these people are not discipled. They don't have the training. They don't have the resources. Many of the pastors that would come to our workshop would just have a ragtag Bible. Many pages would be missing. In fact, we heard stories of where they'd split the Bible up, they'd tear the books out, they'd pass them around. You know, there'd only be one Bible in the whole church. And so I realized that there's a need for Bibles. And this is the story I was going to mention earlier, is when I first went on that first trip as a travel companion with my friend Jim, I went through our basement bookshelves, and the kids had been off to school, and they had all these little Gideon New Testaments. How many of you have those in your house, okay? I found nine Bibles, and I threw them in my suitcase, and I said, you know, they're not doing any good here. I'm going to Africa. Somebody can use them. And so I got there, and I asked the pastor. I gave one to the pastor right away. And then I said, now I have 8 more Bibles, and I'd like to give them to you. You can use them how you want. And Pastor Pews is his name, and we've since been very good friends. But Pastor Pews says, no, you give them out. You know, you give them out. And I said, well, who do I give them to? Well, just this week, there's a young man who accepted the Lord, and I know he'll be in church on Sunday, and he doesn't have a Bible. You can give him one. Okay, so that's 2. I got 7 left. So he said, at the right time in the church service, I'll let you know. And so I get up with the microphone, and I said, is Duncan here? That was his name, Duncan. And he raised his hand. I said, Duncan, would you please come up here? I have a Bible for you. And I gave him that Bible. And of course, everybody's eyes in the room are just like this. You know, how did he get that, you know? And then Duncan went and sat down. And then I told the pastor, I says, well, I have 7 more Bibles. Well, give them out. So can you see where I'm going with this? What happened? Can you see what happened? I said, okay, anyone who else needs a Bible, please come up front and get a Bible. That was a big mistake. You have never seen a room full of, and there was about 200 people there that day. The whole room stood up, and the middle aisle was immediately full of people. And I'm just holding the microphone. I said, I only have 7. Well, give them out. So I gave away 7 Bibles. And then during the service, I got to thinking, you know, I'd like to write my name and just a little word of encouragement in each one of those Bibles. So I gave a note to the pastor, and I said, can you have those who received a Bible come back after the service, and I'll write in their Bible? And what I did is I took my notebook, and because I don't hear very well, and I said, write your name in my notebook so I can write it properly in the Bible. And I got all done with that. You know, everybody else is gone except these 8 people. And there were 2 names at the bottom. Mary and, what was the other one? Jane. Mary and Jane. They said, we are in need of Bibles. Could you give us a Bible? And they knew that I had already given them out. Can you imagine the impact that this had on my heart? These people were hungry for Bibles. These pastors came to me and they pulled me aside. They didn't say, Brian, can you give me money to feed my family? Brian, can you give me money to buy a laptop or a phone or a car? They didn't ask for that. I said, Brian, can you help us do the ministry that God has called us to do? Give us his word. I told you earlier, I have always been a fix-it man. I like to fix things. When I see something broke, I want to fix it. And maybe some of you are that way. If it's broke, I'm going to give it a shot. And don't tell me I can't do it, because then I'm really going to try hard. When I got to Africa, everything is broken. Everywhere you look, it's all broken. But God laid on my heart, Brian, I didn't bring you to Africa to fix anything. You don't have to fix their water systems. You don't have to fix their medical problems. I want you to emphasize 2 things. Number 1, the authority of God's Word and the power that is in His Word. God laid this on my heart, and I have never backed away from this. And secondly, God laid on my heart to teach people about the Holy Spirit and His ministry. Now, there's a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit, but, you know, I've done a 5-day teaching curriculum, and I had a pastor come up to me, and he said, "Brian, I had no idea that there's so much to the Holy Spirit. I thought He was just there to give gifts." Well, that's true. The Holy Spirit does bring us gifts, and He gives us gifts, and that's a real blessing. But the Holy Spirit has been involved from creation through all of the Old Testament. The Spirit is there in the announcing of a coming of our Savior, in our King, in the ministry of Jesus, in his ministry. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was at His crucifixion. The Holy Spirit came and indwelled into the body of believers on Pentecost, and He lives with us today, and He's our teacher, He's our instructor, and He will be with us until all of eternity. There's just so much about the Holy Spirit that we need to know, and He is the author of this book, right? What better teacher is there than the writer, the author Himself? And so in our ministry, we have emphasized the power and the authority of God's Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And those are the two things that the Lord laid on my heart. As I continued to do different workshops and go back and do different conferences, I just came to the conclusion, there's got to be a ministry that I can hook my wagon to, and some ministry that is doing this well. And so I got on the internet, you know, started searching. What ministries are reaching out to pastors, and specifically in Africa? And I came across African Pastoral Training. It's a small ministry out of Dallas, Texas. And what they do is they use the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. How many of you have ever seen the Thompson Chain Reference Bible? Okay. It's an incredible resource. Different workshops at different conferences that I would go to, I would load up suitcases and extra boxes of, one time I took a whole bunch of pocket concordances and Bible dictionaries, and I just wanted to take as many books, resources as I could. A concordance. Everyone know what a concordance is? Okay, you're thinking of a word in the Bible. Where is that word found? Well, you can look it up in the concordance, and the concordance will give you the reference for it. There's a concordance in the Thompson Bible. There's so much other resource material in this Thompson Bible. We'll talk about that after a bit. But the African Pastoral Training uses the Thompson Chain Reference Bible and in their workshops. They do a 2.5-day workshop emphasizing emphasizing preaching biblical messages. And that's a challenge. Preaching a biblical message, especially for someone who has never had any kind of training or schooling. At the end of one of our workshops, one of the pastors came up to me. His name was Pastor Johnstone, and he came up and he said, "Brian, you have given me so much." I hear this over and over and over. But this particular one, he says, "All I've ever done in the past is I read a verse like John 3:16, and then I just start yelling." That was his preaching style. And if you ever watch African pastors on TV, if you get a chance to see some African pastors on TV, that's what it is. I'm at a loss for words. Okay. We emphasize, and one of the things that African Pastoral Training emphasizes in the Thompson Bible International Institute is understanding and knowing the message that God has in his heart for his people. We have a full session, teaching session, on the three hearts. God's heart, the messenger's heart, and the people's heart. And if the pastor is going to preach a message that is going to be effective for the kingdom of God for all of eternity, it must originate from the heart of God. And we show them how to check themselves, how to study well, how to perform or to prepare an outline as they preach a message that comes from the heart of God. Now, okay, let me back up here a little bit. I want to do something with you tonight. Oh, it's a little sticky on there. Okay. I want to do a little Bible study with you and demonstrate a little bit about how we teach. Are you up for that? Okay. You know, we had a great supper. It's been a long afternoon. I see some droopy eyes. But that's okay. But if you have your Bible, I want to choose a very obscure verse from the Bible, and maybe some of you have heard it, maybe not, but this verse comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 23, verse 1. How many of you heard that verse? Okay, let me read this verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I'm using the NIV tonight. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great psalm. When David wrote that psalm, we don't know if he was a young man or if he was in the midst of his kingdom or if he was an older man. Historians or theologians believe that this was written later in his time of being king. We're not sure about that, but let's just go off of that premise a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. When you study the Bible, how many of you have read that verse before? Everyone? You've heard that verse? Have you ever really taken time to study that verse? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What does that verse really mean? Is there something deeper in that verse? A lot of times we emphasize with African pastors, and this is true anywhere we would go, that pastors are shepherds. How many of you consider yourself a shepherd? Pastor, you have the job, you get paid for that, right? Okay. But that's your ministry and that's your gifting and your heart. Any others in the room consider yourself to be a shepherd of God's people? Huh? Do you lead a Bible study? Do you have children? Mom? Dad? We're all shepherds of sorts, right? Are you a good shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Are you a good shepherd? Would you want to be a better shepherd? When you want to be a better shepherd, or when you want to be a better at anything that you do, what do? You look to the perfect example. Jesus Christ is the perfect example of what a good shepherd is. Jesus said, I am the great shepherd. Amen? So tonight, let's just take a few minutes and think about this verse. If you want to be a better shepherd, let's look at what kind of a shepherd is Jesus. And Jesus says in this verse, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Now, when you start doing some Bible study, Pastor, I was really thankful for the practical things that you've given to your people today. You gave them a tool to go out and witness with. By the way, how many of you can do that? You think you can just take that four spiritual laws, bump into somebody you know, somebody that you're just the Lord lays on your heart, and ask them, you know, there's something I'd like to share with you. Would you want to hear this? Can you do that? Is that something you can do? I don't see. Challenging, isn't it? Yeah. But it's a tool. You can do it. That, you know, God is what was that verse, that song we sang? What's that last? Where's the paper? Right here. I get the right page. This is a tremendous song. On the back. Okay, here we go. Father who sustained them, Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired. Cowardice defend us from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errands send us to labor for thy sake. And that whole song, by the way, Doug, those first two paragraphs in this song, it encapsulated everything you said this afternoon. It's right there. This message never changes. And we are the plan. God's called us to do what he's planned for us. But when we study the Word, I'm getting off track here a little bit. I tend to do that. Let's, as we go into the Word, let's dig a little deeper. And I want to give you some very practical tools in your own personal Bible study. Okay? Maybe some of you are already doing this. Maybe you've been to seminary and you say, oh, that's elementary stuff, you know? But you know what? Sometimes it's really helpful to go back to the basics and say, Jesus, help me really understand what's in this verse. So the first thing I want to do in this verse, and whenever you study, and this is a format you can use for any Bible study that you do, is first off, identify key words, okay? So in this verse, what are some of the key words or phrases? What are some of the key words that would be in that verse? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What would be some key words? This is your interaction time. Oh, boy. Am I supposed to be done at 8 o'clock? Huh? I didn't even look to see what time I started, but can I hold you to 20 after? Is that okay? If you have to leave, if you've got a reason to go, please go, and I won't be challenged or offended. But I'm sorry, I wasn't watching the time here. But let's just, if you have to go, I understand. So key words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What's a key word in this verse? Lord. Okay? If you're going to understand this verse, you have to understand the word Lord. Any other key words? Shepherd. Okay? Yeah, how did I do that? Any other key words? My. That's a key word. Is. Any other key words in this verse? Take time when you're doing a Bible study to ask the Spirit. Who's your teacher? Is Pastor your teacher? The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Jesus said that night in the upper room with all of his disciples, I am going away, but I am going to send someone to you who will remind you of everything that I have taught you. And then he prayed for them, and he prayed for his disciples there, but he also prayed for us, right? John chapter 17, read that. You're in that prayer of Jesus, where he promised he would send us the teacher. So take time to let the Spirit speak to your heart when you're Bible study. He's the author of this. He knows the message that's in God's heart. He wants to speak to you. Any other key words you see here? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Huh? Aye, very good. And shall not be in want. That's a phrase, right? Shall not. Shall not be in want. Okay?
There's only one word left. The.
The. Is that a key word?
The Lord.
I think that's a key word too, isn't it? That's a really short verse, but there's a lot in there. So now once you have your key words, and who's going to tell you what keywords you should study? Who's your teacher? The Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. I'm losing here. Get him on. I've got too many things hanging on my ears. Okay. Now what we want you to do is bring one word down at a time. Let's look at the word Lord. And we ask two questions. What does this mean? What does this mean? And why is it important? I'll scribble there. I'm getting in a hurry. Okay? When you do Bible study, there are many other questions you can ask. Who, where, how, when. But just go back to these two questions. When you're doing Bible study with a friend, maybe you've led someone to the Lord and they want to know more about Jesus. And you say, well, let's get together and study the Bible. What should we study? How about John? Let's go through the book of John. Okay? Well, how are we going to study the book of John? Do this right here. Okay, this is a practical tool. I don't have it in a nice little booklet form, but it's a practical tool. If you do these three things, identify the key words that are in that verse, and then each key word, one at a time, ask, what does this word mean, and why is it important? What does Lord mean? Any ideas? What do you think of when you hear the word Lord? Sorry? Over you. Yeah, he's over me. What else?
Master.
He's master. He's a father. Mm-hmm. There's authority that we need to submit to. He's the Lord. So you write all those down. He's master. He's father. And just write it down. It may not be right, it may be wrong, whatever. Just let the Spirit guide you, okay? And as you look at that word, what does that word mean? Now, why is that important? Why is it important that David said, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Why is that important? David's the king, right? He's over all the land. What needs does he have? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." How about you tonight? Do you have someone who is over you? Who is the master? Who you are submitted to? Who is your shepherd? What and why? Every word in that verse, you can do the next thing. The. What does the word the mean? Okay? The last word, we did. Is that an important word? What does the Lord mean? Is. What does is mean? Let's go with that one a little bit. Is. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It means right here, right now, present. The Lord is my shepherd. So when you get in that valley of the shadow of death, what can you say? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, David could have said, the Lord was my shepherd, right? Would he have been true if he said that? Sure, it would have been. Or the Lord, David could have said, the Lord will be my shepherd. Would that be true? Sure, it would be. What did David say? The Lord is my shepherd, right here, right now. When do you need a shepherd? Why is an important word? When do you need a shepherd? Yesterday? Are you worried about yesterday? No? Tomorrow? The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough worries that, you know. Right now, I need a shepherd. That's an important word. Okay, that's all the farther I'm going to go with that, but I wanted to just to demonstrate a little bit to you the practical underlying teaching that we can do in a very short time with our pastors who have had no training. And in 2.5 days, we'll go through this method of teaching. And once we do this, we take it a couple extra steps to form an outline that they can get points or they can get the main idea from their study that they can stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning and say, what kind of a shepherd do you have? I want to tell you, I have a powerful shepherd because the Lord is above all. He is all authority. He is powerful. I have a present shepherd right here, right now. He is a present shepherd. And my, we didn't even talk about the word my. He's personal. He's my shepherd. David could have said, he's our shepherd. Amen? And that would have been true. David said, he is my shepherd. So when you go to bed tonight and you lay your head down on your pillow, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is powerful, he is present, and he is personal. All that is in this one little verse. We didn't even get to the second half of the verse. That's a practical tool. I love tools. If you come to my house or my shop, I've got a shop full of tools. Welding tools, woodworking tools, electrical tools, plumbing tools. I have all kinds of tools. I like tools. This is one of the most effective tools I have ever come across in our own personal Bible study. And you can do this. If you're meeting with someone over coffee and you say, let's have a Bible study. Okay, what should we do? John 3:16. Identify the key words, ask what does this mean and why is it important, and God will bless you. I've been pushing. I want to tell you a little bit about African pastoral training. We take this teaching. I called the president of African pastoral training. His name is Chuck Ballard. And I sent him an email. And he sent me an email back because I told him, I says, something's going on here and I don't have a handle on it, but I've been going over to Africa and doing these workshops and it's bigger than me. I'm just a farm boy from South Dakota and I need some help. And so we got on the phone and I talked to him and I said, Chuck, I would like you to bring your workshop to the pastors that I'm working with in Kenya. And Chuck says, no. I'm already in 7 different countries in Africa, and we're spread thin. I don't have enough money to buy the Bibles for the countries I'm going to, and I can't go to another country. Well, okay, I accepted that. But Chuck and I really made a connection. He's really become a pastor to me, and I'm very thankful for him, a close friend and a pastor. And so we made a lot of conversation back and forth. He became a resource of, what should I do here? What do you think, Chuck? What about this? And one day we were out talking on the phone, and he says, now, when I go to Kenya with you, we're going to do this and this and that. And I said, no, wait a minute. You said you weren't going to go to Kenya. Well, I talked it over with the board, and they said they thought it would be a good idea. Well, great. Okay. So we got some Bibles, and we carried them on the airplane. We don't do that very often, but we had these boxes of Bibles, and off we went. And that was the first time I was exposed to the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I've heard of it. I've seen them around, but I really had no idea of the study system that is in this Thompson Chain Reference Bible. There are over 600 pages of reference material in the back of this Thompson Bible. And built into this reference section is a study system where Dr. Thompson identified topics that the Scripture talks about. Not the words like a concordance, but he identified topics. Like here, what kind of a Christ shepherd? This verse is in the topic of Christ shepherd. And then he would identify anywhere from 6 to 9 different verses that would relate to that particular topic. And so in this topic of Christ shepherd, I think there are 7 verses in that topic. Not only is there one topic about what kind of a shepherd is Jesus, but there are over 4,200 topics that are identified in the Scripture, and Bible verses are given to them. So this is really a true study Bible. How many of you have a study Bible? Okay. And generally, when you open up the Scripture on a study Bible, you'll see the upper part, you'll see columns, maybe some references on the side, but you'll see the Scripture, and then there's a line. And what's below that line? Commentary, right? Who's ever produced the study Bible, he sees, well, in verse 19, there's a question about that, and he'll give you kind of some kind of answer what verse 19 is all about. And when I've got several study Bibles. I've probably got 5 or 6 of them. And I get real lazy when I'm reading those study Bibles. Because, well, you know what I do? I have a question when I'm reading up here in the Scripture, and I have a question. What's that all about? What's the first thing I do? I look down here and to see what, Schofield or Ryrie, or I'll give you away kind of some of my background where I've studied, or it could be MacArthur. There's all these other commentaries. The Thompson Chain Reference Bible has no commentary in it. But what it does in that verse, if you have a question about that verse, it identifies a topic that you can look over in the margin, and it has a system of where you can find other verses that relate to that topic. And so then you have to go study those other verses that are related to that similar topic. And by the time you finish that study, you have accomplished a deeper understanding of what that topic is all about. So it's really a true study Bible. When we go to the workshops, each pastor will receive a Thompson Bible like this, all wrapped up, nice and fresh and new. And several things in life have been a real joy for me. When we got married, that was a pretty exciting time. When our children were born, that was a really exciting time. And we're going to be celebrating 40 years here in May. That's pretty exciting. But I tell you what, when I can take this Thompson Bible, spend 2.5 days with someone, teaching them how to use it, and the resources, materials that are here, along with some basic Bible study methods, I can hand this Bible to a pastor. There, it's hard to describe the joy that comes with that. I have had pastors crying like little babies with joy, thanking me for this Bible. and giving them. One pastor, his name was Francis, I remember him very well, and he said, "You have given me more than $1 million." And he had just tears coming down his face. Our friends, our brothers and sisters, living way out there, I have had the privilege of meeting a few of them, getting to know them by name. You maybe never will until we get to heaven, and they're going to be there. And we can bless their lives today. We can bless their ministry today by seeing this take place. The Thompson Bible International Institute has trained over 120,000 pastors now since about 1984. Now, I won't give you the whole history of how that started. Just in Kenya alone, we have, I'm trying to remember, I think it's 3,000 pastors in Kenya alone have received the training in a Thompson Bible. I have been to Kenya, I'm not sure how many times. I've been to 19 times I've made it the trip to the continent of Africa. Some of those were different countries, but we have established in our mission, and I'm talking now as a representative of African Pastoral Training, we've established a desire and a plan and a purpose to see local pastors become trained to do this workshop. And right now we have a man named Wallace Thaya. He is a Kenyan, and he's been part of our team over there. And he is now fully trained and has done 6 workshops without me. And, you know, that's bittersweet in a real way, because that's my place, is to stand up and do the workshop. But Wallace is doing it now. There's no need for me to go back to Kenya, because he can train and hand out all the Bibles that we can afford to send him. And there's no need for me to be there. And Wallace is a dear friend of mine. He actually, when I was there this last September, I said, "Wallace, it's your turn to come to my house now." And so he got his visa that got approved back in December, and his airplane ticket is in place, and he will be coming to our house in late April. And so it's pretty exciting to know that he'll be coming. And he'll be available for a few nights here in South Dakota to share about APT and how the Lord is using him there. And that's exciting for me. It's bittersweet because I'm not the one doing the workshops, but it is so sweet to know I don't have to be there. It's not on my shoulders. God is using this ministry to bless the Kenyan pastors. I have been asked by Chuck Ballard, the president of APT, to join him in June to go to Sierra Leone and possibly take on that country and to see someone trained to do the workshops there in that country. So I request that you pray for me as I make that decision, if that's something that God wants me to be doing in Sierra Leone. That's West Africa, where Kenya is East Africa. I have a short video. I'm going to be right on time here. Let's see if this will turn on. A little bit of showing about APT. Get everything warmed up here. And we'll have to make sure the Wi-Fi hooks up to my phone.
Yep.
So, any questions? I feel like I'm sorry. I just feel like I've rushed through. We in Africa, they give me usually 2 hours to preach a message, you know, and so time is on a whole different schedule. We have a lot of fun with them because they like to start on African time. And to an African, you say, "Let's meet tomorrow for lunch." Okay. If Pastor, if you said that to someone, what would you expect? Around 12 o'clock, you're going to get together, right? Well, to an African, if you say, let's meet tomorrow at lunch, it could be 5 o'clock, and they're ready for lunch, you know? And that's okay. So, how are we doing? Oh, okay. Just go ahead and let that play. Just turn up the volume.
Most of the people in Uganda right now, they just read, even without any understanding, you pick a verse, only one verse, and you begin to build a doctrine or a teaching on that. And there is something that is missing. We need pastoral training, and we need it seriously.
There's multiple needs in Africa in the whole realm of pastoral training. One of the key areas is having study resources that can be readily available and practical for use for pastors in sub-Saharan Africa.
If they just give you the Bible without training you, you cannot know anything which is in it, and it will be very difficult for you to use that Bible.
I have not got an official training, so I needed more knowledge as far as the Word of God is concerned, so that I'm able to communicate the truth about God.
Our training is 2.5 days of training. We have several things we want to accomplish. We want to enhance and develop their skills in how to study the Word, and then how to transfer that study into practical, simple, Bible-based messages that come directly from the text.
We are able to carry the pastor through different topics, including how to use the Thompson Bible, the reference section.
I began to understand the Bible differently than when I first understood it before the Thompson Bible training. It was difficult finding any connection. And today, if I want to talk about love, it is easy. I only go to the chain index where they are laid alphabetically. I will look for love, and I will find all the references.
That I am not being the kind of shepherd that the Lord Jesus is.
So after the training, I said, I think this is the right thing. I really felt it.
He brought her expository sermon live to us again. That was one of the best achievements which I got in that vein. So it has helped my life so much, spiritually.
Let's go to John 10:11.
We'd like for each pastor and church leader to receive the Thompson Teen Reference Bible. The more Bibles we get, the more we'll be able to reach the pastors and church leaders in Africa.
If I had not gone through the training, it would be difficult for me to find the help or the tools that are in the Bible.
For people who have never attended this training, I do encourage them to try their best to be trained on this Bible, because there are things in the Bible which will help them in the way of practicing, preaching, and understanding our Christian background.
I did not know how to preach. Really, after attending the training, I learned how to set a sermon, how to ask the question when you're preaching.
I wanted to be a person who would be able to teach Bible-based messages. But then it was challenging. Getting these messages was difficult. So big a difference, so big.
Forces that sheep to lie down.
Okay. We will train a pastor, including providing a Thompson Bible for him, for $50. When I think of investing $50 to impact a pastor for a lifetime of ministry, it's hard to find a better investment.
The way you came in is not the way you are going to walk out of that training. Definitely you will have a transformed mind and a renewed spirit.
I've found a deeper knowledge concerning the Bible. I can now interpret the Bible, I believe, because it gives me a clear image on how I can prepare my sermons.
If you will continue to do this tomorrow...
It's very solid. It reminds me that we have to stand on what is true and what is right.
He has made preaching very easy, because I preach with the knowledge of what I have seen, what I have understood better.
They have brought a change specifically to my life. And I know my life will never be the same.
I want to encourage you to keep coming. You train more leaders in Africa, more so in Uganda.
When we can train the pastors, then they can train their leaders and then also impact the Church of God in Africa.
And I believe with all this, I am going to be a better minister. I have my Bible, and it is going to be used by me and my family. We are going to use it for the glory of the Lord.
A country can be impacted through its people. So the key to strengthening a country spiritually is through the church. The key in the church is going to be your pastors and your leaders. The difference is made for eternity in terms of the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
The one man there, his name was Francis. I mentioned Francis earlier, but he said, "The way I came into this training is not the way I'm going out." And I've heard that over and over. This ministry is impacting. This is just one of many ministries that the Lord is using in a powerful way. As Pastor Chuck there said, for $50, a Bible can be purchased. This is a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It can be purchased and shipped along with the other materials that are necessary to do the workshop. It's an incredible investment in the life of a pastor. And many of these pastors will have two or three or four congregations ranging from 100 to 500 people in each congregation. It's amazing. You might say, oh, how can those numbers be true? They are. The people in America, in Africa are responding to the gospel, and we need leaders who are able to handle God's word and to bring the message of God's word to them and to disciple them. So evangelism, God's not calling us to evangelize Africa. You know, God's doing that. The Africans are doing that. God's called you to evangelize Beersford, right? And or wherever he's taken you. But we can have an impact on others around the world. I want to say thank you to Pastor for allowing us to be here and to share what's going on. I want to encourage you. Listen to what Doug said this afternoon. We are the plan. How has God gifted you? How has God positioned you in life to where you find yourself right now? What is his ministry for you? For me, he's asked me to get on an airplane and travel around the world. That's challenging. You know, I want to tell you, the romance of getting on an airplane is gone for me. You know, I just dread it anymore. And the romance of foreign food, that was taken away from me this last year. It's called parasites, you know. Just those things happen, okay? But what little do we have to give to see eternal rewards that God can use? And I'm thankful for that. So that any other, if you want to take time for questions, I'll be available for that. Otherwise, I went 7 over what I promised you. Sorry.